Hi everyone, I'm Scott Brown, and before we dive into today's lessons I learned in law, I just wanted to tell you about our friends over at Beamery. Beamery is a real game changer in the world of talent management, so HR and talent teams should definitely take note. It is trusted with the likes of Accenture, McKinsey, AstraZeneca and Uber, to name a few. Now, this is a great piece of recruitment technology, which is an AI-powered talent platform that will enable you to hire candidates faster, develop the skills of your existing workforce, and increase employee retention. With Beamery, you'll have a complete understanding of your workforce's skills and capabilities, and it's all about building an agile and future-proof team. So check it out. Head over to their website at beamery.com. I'm Scott Brown, and welcome back to Lessons I Learned in Law, the podcast brought to you by Heriot Brown In-House Legal Recruitment. We're specialists in placing lawyers in fulfilling careers in-house, and this is your place to hear all about some of those careers and what a career path for an in-house lawyer looks like. On each episode, I'm really fortunate to be joined by a leading mind from the legal profession, and they share with me the top three lessons that they've learned from their career to date. As an ex-lawyer, I myself spent a good number of years not really knowing what I was looking for working in private practice. And I know that having access to these conversations at that point in time, technology wasn't quite what it is today, would have been a real helping hand for me. So hopefully you take something from it. My guest today, I'm delighted to be joined by a familiar face, is Anna Butler. Welcome to Lessons I Learned in Law, Anna.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you for having me.
Anna trained at US law firm Mayer Brown, and after 6 years she moved on to another city practice at RPC. She then moved in-house to head up the capital redevelopment program at UCL, and since then she's had a number of leadership roles in different sectors. She's now taken a recently new position, Anna, so we're keen to hear more about that. She's Group General Counsel at Long Harbour Limited, which is an investment and asset management firm with 3.6 billion assets under management. How's it going, Anna?
It's going really well. Thank you, Scott. I'm just about entering my third month, and so far so good. I'm really happy.
Good. Feet under the table. Fantastic. So we'll learn more about Anna's background during the conversation. But Anna, if you don't mind, we'll jump straight into lesson number one.
Thank you, Scott. Yes, my first lesson is it is a people business. It's absolutely key to build relationships both inside and outside your law firm when you're in private practice, and then inside and outside your company when you actually move in-house and stay in touch with people at all sorts of different levels. I learned this very, very early on, and I remember my first trainee supervisor saying to me, pick up the phone, that is the best way to build a relationship with someone. And as a new trainee, that was a bit scary, the idea of phoning a client, you know, what happens if they ask me a question, I didn't know what to say. And she said, you know, if they ask you something you don't know, just say, oh dear, there are technical issues, I'm terribly sorry, I'll call you back. And then you can ask the question to someone who knows, phone them back and deal with it. And, you know, I've always found speaking to people on the phone, meeting them in person, you're just able to make that connection, build some links, and it makes everything so much easier and so much more enjoyable as well. I remember when I was quite a junior lawyer, I was a real estate lawyer. It was the boom times. Awful lot of work going on. And there was one client in particular I just found really, frankly, quite rude. And he was frustrated because I wasn't turning his work around quickly enough. I talked to the partner and I said, I just find it really challenging working with this particular client. What can I do? And he said, take him out for lunch, go meet him, have a chat, get to know him, understand what makes him tick. And I did. And I can't tell you how much that changed our relationship. I suddenly wasn't a faceless lawyer at the end of an email saying, I'm terribly sorry, I haven't done it today, I will send it to you tomorrow. I was a person, we had some shared interests, and it's much harder as well to be rude to someone when actually you've met them and you understand, you know, they're doing their best and they're working on other projects for the same clients. And so I think just building relationships with people is really important.
a great lesson across other industries as well as law. But so you were encouraged as a junior lawyer to go out and build those relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was both kind of at formal networking sessions and events organised by the firm and, you know, where there would be a group of us. But also we were actively encouraged, you know, to meet people for a coffee and, you know, suggest going out for lunch and just pick up the phone and have a chat with them. It doesn't have to always relate to work. And I think that was very valuable advice.
Yeah, I'm always impressed when I meet Anna at a lot of events legal events, and impressed at the way she networks and works the room. How has it changed in being an in-house lawyer, and what do you get from building those relationships with, I guess, peers in other in-house lawyers?
Oh, it's just so valuable, because often when you move in-house, you know, I moved from a very large department in a very large firm to a relatively small legal team when I first moved in-house, and I was the only real estate lawyer. So it was absolutely critical to talk to other real estate lawyers or other project lawyers who I could just bounce ideas off and say, what do you think about that? Or how would you approach that? And, you know, they'd ask me questions as well. And, you know, it applies to headhunters as well, because earlier this year I was looking for a new job, and I do remember someone phoned me up and said, oh, I've got this great opportunity, how about it? And I said, you do know, I know the outgoing head of legal, don't you? And the headhunter was just like, oh my goodness, I'm so sorry, forget I even mentioned it, because we all talk, we know which are the good companies to work for. And that particular company was one that I wouldn't have touched with a barge pole.
Yeah.
So there is a great value in knowing what's going yes. on in different companies.
Yeah, you never know who knows. The six degrees of connection, I think, are invaluable in circumstances like that. But
yeah,
moving in-house, I guess, did you think that, or networking and building those relationships, was that something you thought that you're front of mind? Because I think it's obviously... for partners in law firms, it seems obvious that needs to be something to win the business. But how did you shift your mindset making that switch as well?
Well, I think the focus kind of changed slightly, because when I was in private practice, it was about building relationships with clients and ultimately hoping that they would then ask me to do some work. When I moved in house, it was about how can I build relationships and build my understanding both of the sector I was working in, but also in terms of the knowledge that in-house lawyers had, because it is different being an in-house lawyer to being in private practice. And so learning what they were focused on, what was important to them, how I could, you know, add most value. And there are some excellent programs actually run by particular law firms. I remember there was one in particular I joined. It used to be run by DLA. I don't know if it's still running. It might have stopped during COVID, which was called WIN, What In-House Lawyers Need. And they did a series of seminars, and there was always networking afterwards. And it was a great opportunity just to meet people, have a chat, see what people were working on, see what problems they were experiencing, see what approaches they were having to law firms, see what fees they might be paying, see what value-added yeah. services they were getting. And have that open conversation, and everyone is so giving. You know, everyone I've ever talked to has been very happy to, you know, discuss their experiences in the same way as I am when people ask me questions. You know, it's all about helping each other out and just sharing the knowledge that we have.
Great. How has it changed more recently with everything being online, or a lot more online interactions compared to face to face? Have you, is it a different approach to building a relationship?
Well, I think it's interesting, because during 2020, the lawyer did their GC summit, and it was entirely virtual. And I have to admit, I had rather low hopes, but Emma Bauer, who's now obviously with you at Heriot Brown, was heavily involved, and they had a really good program or platform. And they had breakout rooms which worked like proper breakout rooms. And I actually met some people, GCs and different companies, who I really formed a very good relationship with. And, you know, we now have a WhatsApp group. So it's interesting, you know, it was different, but it worked really well. And, you know, this year, that very same GC summit was in person. And in fact, I think neither of those GCs could make it, but I met other people. So, you know, different, but still, there were still opportunities to be had, I think. And, you know, during the actual lockdown, I think everyone, every lawyer was so busy. It was, you know, helpful just to be able to call up a few people and say, crikey, how are you dealing with this? What are you thinking about that? Have some support during what was quite a challenging time for us all, I think.
Yeah. Just going back to your point, when you were a junior lawyer and going out and networking with people, with clients face to face and encouraged to go out in that context, you're now in the other, you're the boots on the other foot, you're buying legal services or buying services from providers. How often are you interacting with the junior members of the team in that context versus the more senior, I guess, rainmakers or people that are account managing?
Well, that's actually a really interesting question, because I went to an event this week and I was talking to a couple of partners at the law firm, and I won't name the law firm. The comment was made, oh no, you know, the associates aren't here. And so, you know, not all law firms give the opportunity to all lawyers to go to those kind of events. And I think that's why it's important to actually, you know, do your own thing as well, you know. And it might just be staying in touch with other friends who you met at law school, or it might be your trainee friends who, you know, head off to other places. Lots of commercial and corporate lawyers obviously end up going in-house. So just staying in touch with people generally, even if you're not invited to formal events.
Mm-hmm. It's maybe not for everyone as well. I think not every lawyer or associate wants to be that point of contact and wants to be more subject matter focused, but I guess putting their hand up as well and really pushing to go to events and meet with people is a good thing, although it probably eats into a time which might be spent out of the workplace. But but yeah, for all you've said in terms of helping careers in the future, it sounds like it's stood you in good stead in building those relationships. We'll move on then to lesson two, if you could share that, please, Anna.
Yeah, so my second lesson in law is be open to opportunities. There is no set career path to GC. When I look at my career, you know, I was a real estate lawyer. That's where I qualified. And not many real estate lawyers end up going in-house. There aren't that many opportunities, although there are a lot more opportunities now than there were when I was a junior lawyer. And I think it's just worth remembering, you learn from every opportunity and every experience. And for example, when I saw the job advert for the job at UCL, it was actually a job both for estates and procurement. Now, I knew nothing about procurement. I had no experience in procurement. And when I looked at the job spec, I could have quite easily thought, that's not for me. I know nothing about procurement. But instead, I thought, well, I know a lot about real estate, and actually I can learn about procurement. And that sounds quite interesting. And this is an in-house role, which I'm really fascinated by, and a business I want to be part of. And so I went for it. And as it turned out, I didn't have to do any procurement work, because the estates work was actually huge and there wasn't any time for me to do procurement. So it's just a lesson to think about job specs when you see them, and to focus on the things that you can do rather than the things that you can't do, because it probably won't matter. And if you've got the right attitude, it definitely doesn't matter, because we're all bright and we can learn something new.
Yeah, looking for what you can do, not what you can't do. I think that's you sort of taking the words out of my mouth there. I think it's so important. Yeah. I think it is quite a British British trait to look at that and say, oh, I can do 8 out of 10 of those things, but the two that I can't do, those are the things that people hang their hat on rather than backing themselves. So no, I think that's great. And I guess switching from property and making that, I look at it as a career change when you move in-house from private practice. It is quite a it's a bit of a shift moving from private practice to in-house. Did you think you wanted to be a general counsel at that point in time?
I think yes. You know, I think ultimately I did want to get to the top of the tree. And if I'd stayed in private practice, it would have been partnership, and going in-house, it is to be a general counsel. But I was quite relaxed about the time frame. And I think that's the other thing to remember, because lots of in-house legal departments are quite a flat structure. You might have a GC and then possibly a deputy GC, but maybe not. And then a lot of legal counsel who are all legal counsel, and they might have a range of different experience. But actually, it's not like being in a law firm where you're a trainee, an NQ, 2-year qualified for, you know, junior lawyer, senior associate, maybe legal director. And I think if you just focus on the fact that you're doing really interesting, challenging work rather than what is my job title, that's actually quite helpful. And, you know, I went from being a senior legal counsel to being a head of legal for the UK and then head of legal for Western Europe and then to group general counsel. And you know, each role contains different things, and you learn different things as you go along. And it doesn't have to be a straight line, basically.
Yeah, good advice. When did you, in terms of in private practice and qualifying into property, was that a conscious decision, or was that something that had been, I guess, circumstantial as to the seats you had done in training contract?
It was a very conscious decision. I mean, real estate had actually been my first seat and I absolutely loved it. I then went on to litigation, which was, let's say, not my favourite thing, and continues to be nowadays something that I'm not so keen on. I'm much more keen on working together with a shared goal than fighting each other. And I did an IP seat and corporate. And I loved the fact that real estate was tangible. I was working for big clients or big projects where I could walk around a site and see the changes that were made on the development. And I had a real passion for it. And what's interesting is, as I became more senior and my job expanded, especially when I was in-house, you know, I was doing joint ventures and they were property focused, but it was actually more commercial and there was a lot more kind of corporate elements to it. And so when you move in-house, you have so many more opportunities to diversify, and really everything's there for the taking. And, you know, people talk about the fact you're in-house and something will land on your desk. And when you get to a leadership role, it literally could be some HR matter. It could be an M&A deal. It might be a litigation matter. You know, there are so many different areas, and that makes it really interesting, I think.
Great. When did you know you wanted to be a lawyer, or what inspired you to become a lawyer?
Oh, this is, do you know what? I will admit it was LA law. When I was a teenager, I used to love LA law, which was like the US glossy version. And then This Life, which was also on TV. So I am dating myself now, but This Life was an English TV program which followed trainee solicitors and pupils, which I think it was quite gritty. I think it was quite realistic. So yes, there you go. It was TV that made me think, oh, that might be for me.
Yeah, always I guess, yeah, predating Instagram and TikTok and suits. That's probably quoted now, but
yes,
both probably available on UK Gold, doing reruns on UK Gold if people want to check them out.
I can recommend them.
And what would you have done if you hadn't become a lawyer?
There's a question. As a child, I wanted to be a Blue Peter presenter. So there you go. Maybe I would have done something very creative. I was always building things.
You'd be a big user of like legal, like precedent documents. Then here's one I made earlier.
I don't use that as much as I should. Yeah.
Moving swiftly on, if you could share your third lesson, Anna.
Yeah, so my third lesson in law is work in a business that you have a passion for. I think it's really interesting to work in any business, but working somewhere where you actually really believe in it, you believe in the product, you believe in the strategy, you believe in the way that the business works. I think it makes it so much easier and so much more enjoyable. So when I was applying for jobs earlier this year, I was asking the CEOs and the COOs who I was being interviewed by, you know, what is your strategy? Where do you see yourselves in 5-10 years time? Because I wanted to know that I was actually going to be invested in that, because it has to be something that I'm going to be part of. I need to be able to deliver it. And I think when you're actually passionate about what you're working in, you can add more value as well, because the more we know about the business, the more value we can bring. And that's what sets us apart from the external lawyers as well, because we are actually within the business.
Yeah. When you were asking those questions, what was the main thing you were looking for?
I really was trying to keep an open mind, but I wanted to understand that, well, first, they had a strategy, and secondly, yeah, that it was well thought through, and that I could understand it, and also that I believed in it. So, you know, if I thought that that was genuinely something that would work and that I wanted to be part of, then, you know, I was really interested. You know, I spent a year as head of legal for Western Europe for KFC, and it was a new sector for me, and, you know, fascinating to work across 14 jurisdictions in Europe. It was, you know, a business which fundamentally, fried chicken is not really my thing, and that's not going to come as any surprise to anyone I worked with. But I was very open with my boss when I had my interview, and ultimately, you know, I think that if I had stayed a long time, that probably would have held me back. I think it's much easier to fully commit and invest yourself and do well for the business when you really believe in it. And it's something that is kind of true to you and your values.
Mm-hmm. How much of it comes down to the job of general counsel and the scope that you have in that role versus what the underlying, what the business is selling, or what their actual business line is?
Well, I think there are lots of different parts to a job, and it's important that the majority of the different elements are in line with what you're expecting, what you want to get out of a job. So, for example, with KFC, it was an amazing opportunity for me to work in 14 jurisdictions. I had a big team. It was an iconic brand, a big US company. And the only thing that I wasn't quite sure about was the fact it was selling fried chicken. And so I went ahead and learned an awful lot from that job. I think it's when I reflect back now and think about what I was really doing and the purpose of the business. And actually, I think it's really important to believe in the product or believe in the service if you're in a service business, because it's about being invested. And I think the more invested you are in the business, the better you can deliver, the better advice you can provide to your stakeholders, the more you can be that, you know, trusted advisor to the board, because you're all trying to get exactly the same thing. So for me, the product or the service is very important.
Yeah. And it sounds like you're constantly learning what makes you tick then, and what's more important to you as an individual as well along the way. And ties in almost to the point on being open, like your last lesson on your second lesson on being open to opportunities, and I guess not shutting the door.
Yeah.
And Anna grabbed an opportunity last year to speak at our Burns Night and absolutely nailed it on the reply for the lassies. An English version of that was fantastic.
Thank you. I mean, one of my favourite phrases is it's a Richard Branson phrase, and that is, when you're given an opportunity, say yes and then work out how to do it. And yes, when you asked me to do that speech, I very much said yes and then worked out how I was going to write it and deliver it. So It was a great experience.
Good approach to take, definitely. So I've been asking on this series a closing question. So finally, what lesson that you've learned in law do you wish that you hadn't learned? If you could use the red pen out of Men in Black and erase that memory or that lesson, what would it be?
So it's a difficult one because obviously we learn from everything, but I do remember being told, don't rock the boat. You know, if you want to make a change, really think about it, make sure your timing is right and don't rock the boat. And there was a situation I was in a few years ago when I wanted to make a particular change. And I knew it would be a bit tricky for a period, but I thought in the long run, it was the right thing to do. But I was told, don't rock the boat, by someone, you know, outside the business who was, you know, very kindly giving me advice. And I didn't rock the boat and I didn't make the change that I wanted to make. But my gut feel had been right. I should have been bold and made that change, because instead of something being a bit painful for a short period of time, it was difficult for a prolonged period. And so I think the better lesson is have the courage of your convictions, believe in your gut feel, and that will be the right decision.
Not having regrets. Yeah, no, that's a good one to close on.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for taking the time and joining me today, Anna. It's been a pleasure chatting and learning a bit more.
Thank you, Scott. It's been an absolute pleasure. Always good to talk to you.
Fantastic insights. Thanks again, Anna Butler, who's Group General Counsel at Long Harbour. Good luck in the new position and getting your feet under the table there. It sounds like a fantastic opportunity. Great of Anna also there to join and make do. She's really scrappy. If you didn't notice, check out the videogram on LinkedIn. I think she actually borrowed her daughter's Fisher-Price headphones by the looks of it. That's commitment to recording the podcast. Love to see it. But if you enjoyed that conversation that I had with Anna, then why not check out some of the earlier episodes in seasons gone by? Going back to series one, I was joined by Rachel Callaran, who's CLO of health tech company Thriva. Now, Rachel spoke a lot around shaping your position and looking beyond the traditional general counsel role. So for those that are looking to go above and beyond, potentially position themselves for a move out of legal at some point in their career, then I suggest you check that one out. Now, you can search for that episode with Rachel on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or all those other listening platforms, or head over simply to harrietbrown.com/podcast, where they're all in the same spot, all the links nicely formatted by our team. Now, remember to be a good listener and also hit the subscribe button so that you don't miss out on future episodes and you get them straight to your earphones. That really helps us out. And if you've got any feedback, we're always loving to hear that, good or bad, or you'd like to appear on the podcast, or you would like to suggest someone that you'd like me to have a chat with, then drop me a line, scott@harrietbrown.com, or come and connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm always open. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you again soon.